So you're sneaking out late at night to go to church. So you're skipping Gurdwara, or are you still going to Gurdwara at this time?
Welcome to the Purpose of Your Life podcast. In this podcast, we have another episode of the My Path to Sikhi series. For more educational material, visit www.mysimran.info.
Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa.
Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh.
As many people know, when you come into Sangath, everyone's got their own story about how Simran kind of changed their life. And I was talking to one Gurmukh Pyareo who wants to stay anonymous, so we'll keep him anonymous. But I thought the story was too good for the Sangath to pass up on kind of how Simran changed their life. So Gurmukh Pyareo, before we begin, can you maybe just tell us a little bit about where you're born, the family you came from, kind of how deep involved or entrenched they were in Sikhi, and then kind of the evolution of your spiritual path?
Yeah, so I was born and brought up in Punjab. Okay. And belonged to a kind of a Gursikh family. When I say Gursikh, I mean everybody was a Keshadari. Not like we used to eat meat and all, but no sharab.
Yeah. You had belief in Guru Granth Sahib.
Guru Granth Sahib.
Yeah, basically, like not hardcore Sikh, but like devoted Sikh.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And we have to do like Japji Sahib every day and all, yeah. And in the evening, Raras Sahib. Mm. So that was kind of a part of our daily life. And we had a Guru Granth Sahib's Prakash in our home. Yeah.
So when you were a young man, what was like your opinion of Sikhi? Was it just something that you did because it's what your parents taught you to do? Or did you have a passion, or were you seeking out something?
So, I mean, I was in an era when it was 1984 and all. And I was actually passionate in a Sikhi in a different point of view, right? So I was really a fan of Baba Jarnail Singh Bhindranwale, and everything was great, right? But then when movement died, the passion for my Sikhi was going away, because there was my parents did a very good job and whatever they knew, but there was not actual guidance per se.
Okay. And so, you know, not to be the spoiler and all this, but you actually became a Christian, which is kind of the fun of this story, why I think it's so interesting. But you weren't like a Christian in traditional sense. You still kept your bug. You still kept your case. I mean, you still had your hair. You still had your turban. I find it real fascinating. So what was it like to be a Christian Sikh?
So basically...
And how did you fall into it? Were you in college? What was right. The thing? So give us the background and the story.
Right. So I was in a college, and I was very close to one of my cousin who was studying in Bangalore and doing Bachelor of Pharmacy. And since we were very close, and he experienced something out there, he went to the Gurdwara, and the Granthi out there was very rude to him, and he was in like depression at that point of time. And what happened was that he met one pastor, and basically he gave him a Bible, and he said, start reading it and just pray. And if you will pray to Jesus Christ, and you will see the change in your life. So somehow he experienced something out there. And when he came back from his for his summer vacations, and he talked with me, and he said, it's very easy. You just have to pray for Jesus Christ, that you believe in Jesus Christ, and you have to say you believe in him, and he's the only way out there, and your life will change.
And what was the reason for like the conversion? Was it just because he knows English, so it's like kind of easy to read, or like and understand kind of the theology? Is it the story that they set up, or was it just because maybe someone took advantage of someone who was in a, like a depressed position? By the way, is he still Christian, or is he?
He's a Christian. He trims his beard, and but still keeps his bug.
Okay.
So he moved to Europe. So
yeah. Okay.
But I mean, he was like very dedicated and all. The difference between his family and my family was like my family still had like a lot of, we used to do Japji Sahib Paath, and we had a lot of values, Sikhi values.
Okay.
But in his case, it was like, let it go, whatever he wants to do.
So your cousin goes ahead, and here he is upset, and all of a sudden he finds some solace in religion.
Right.
And he comes to you as his brother, is his friend.
Yeah.
And he basically says, hey, Waiguru, he's like, hey, Gurmukh Pyareo. He goes, this is a cool thing to try out.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
So for me, like from my childhood, I always wanted to meet God, right? And I was looking for shortcuts, basically. So this was like, I felt like he was like, oh, if you're just going to pray, Jesus is going to just appear in your dream or whatever, right? And
like, cool.
Yeah, I was like, he said that he's the only way. We are just astray and all, right? Yeah. So basically, we are not in the right path. So if you believe in that, and I believed in his story.
Yeah.
On the background, my dad...
What do you mean you believed in his story?
Believed in his assurance, right? Because he was my friend.
Oh, yeah. So your belief wasn't in Jesus. Your belief was in your cousin.
Exactly. Whatever he's saying is right because... We grew up together, same age group, right?
Okay.
And we played together.
Your friend, right?
Friends, yeah, you love and we each trust other. Each other, yeah, yeah. Love each other. And that was mainly what was happening. Whatever he was saying, I was like believing in him.
Okay.
And I was like keeping it a secret from my parents.
Oh, really? Yeah. So you start reading the Bible, do you start going to church? What do you start doing?
So then he hooked me up with some local pastor in Punjab, right?
Yeah.
And they were brethren group, right? Yeah. So I really liked the kind of ideology. They treated me very well, very respectful, very happily, very calmly, very humbly. I really liked them.
Yeah.
And they were from southern part of India. Basically, they were missionary in Punjab.
And by the way, for the audience, for anyone who doesn't know, Christians of St. Thomas was actually one of the 12 apostles, and he was sent to India to preach. So India and Christianity have gone together for about 2,000 years,
right?
For the duration of Christianity. It's not something new, but the way they practice it is obviously a lot different. There's a lot of different cultural influences, etc. And there's a new emergence of Christians. And unfortunately, some have been persecuted, right, in India. Like some are forbidden to preach. For example, Mormons are no longer allowed in India. But in the same way, a lot of Christians in Punjab have chosen to do bid, be of Sri Guru Granth Sahib. They've chosen to pry on families who aren't well-to-do by offering education instead of going and saying, if you leave your religion, we'll give you education to your children, et cetera.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So just setting up that as a tone of everything. So here you are. You get hooked up with this pastor. You're not telling your parents, by the way?
No.
Okay. So you're going to the pastor's church on...
Yeah, he had a small house church where the congregation meet every Sunday.
Okay.
So basically, we used to sing songs.
Okay.
You know, all the Jesus praises and all that stuff, right?
Did you like that?
Oh, yeah. When I was in eighth grade, my background is I was from a convent school, a Christian school.
Yeah.
Studied in a Christian school, so I already participated in all those, religious songs and religious spirits.
So I have a quick question about this because this is kind of interesting because we've seen this big conversion in Punjab where we actually see a lot more people converting to Christianity as a kind of an outlet out. But like my parents went to Christian schools as well. They went to Catholic schools, but they didn't become Catholic. And I know a lot of people, a lot of Indians, they all went to Christian or Catholic schools, but they didn't convert. So why do you think, and this is kind of, deviating from your story a little bit, what do you think the difference is now, like in terms of things? Do you have any opinion or anything on why maybe people are leaving Sikhi to become Christians?
I think the basic tenets of Sikhi, like no caste and basically love each other, it's kind of missing now, right?
There's too much hate is preached in the Gurdwara.
So there are two kinds of people, right, in Punjab I've seen, right? One are very poor and they don't have a medicine or anything to treat, right? They don't have money to go to the doctor. And then there are people who are rich, but they're fed up of all this political kind of a Sikhi system which has come up. And since they don't have a good knowledge of Gurbani, they don't read Gurbani, they don't try to understand, they don't do Simran. So what is happening is that they are trying to find a path which is like more easier. And there are no restrictions. For example, you can eat meat and you can drink sharab, right?
Yeah, so you can drink alcohol.
Yeah.
There are no dietary restrictions, etc.
Exactly.
And there seems to be more peace than love.
Exactly.
So it's not highly political.
Right.
It's not tied into social movements. It seems to be a place where people can find an ease for their mind. They have a sense of community. So basically, the social safety net that Sikhi used to provide people, which is basically food, education, basic welfare of like taking care of families, because that's been removed, because Punjab has basically been so politicized. Families have been so destabilized because of drugs and other political factions. As a result, Christianity has kind of swooped in to replace Sikhi. Would you agree with that?
Right. And then there's another reason, right? There is a minority status for Christians.
Yeah.
So a lot of like a higher level education, like if you want to become a doctor or if you want to become an engineer, there are engineering colleges and there are medical colleges where there are seats reserved for Christians, right? That's another reason. So it's mainly money kind of a reason, right?
Or so it's a social mobility.
Social mobility, yeah.
So now let's back up. So you're sneaking out late at night to go, or during the day to go to church. So you're skipping Gurdwara, or are you still going to Gurdwara at this time?
So my thinking changed so much, Sakat.
Yeah.
That
Sakat means somebody who's gone the wrong direction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That I was using Gurdwaras as a place for fun.
Okay.
When I said, because there is a sarovar out there. Now, Punjab, you don't have like ocean or something.
So you go swimming in the sarovar.
Or treating it as a beach.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Right?
Yeah.
Once I was like putting my legs inside the sarovar and the sevadar came and he was like, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? So, but I just wanted to go there.
So you had no respect for the Gurdwara.
Exactly.
You just treated it as an amusement park.
Right.
Place to people watch. Place to right. just... eat food and just relax.
Yeah, I mean, but back of my heart, there was still a respect for 10 gurus and Tanchiri Guru Granth Sahib Ji. I still wouldn't I couldn't hear anything bad about the gurus.
Okay. So you're sneaking off to the church. Do your parents find out at any time?
I told them.
Okay, so when did you tell them?
Eventually, I said, you know, I don't think so. Like Sikhis for me or something, right?
Yeah.
I'm just reading Bible and it's a lot more interesting. And my dad said, I gave you a stik of Nithname. Did you read it? I said, no.
A stik means it's an explanation.
Right. Yeah. And I said, I didn't read it. And he said, why not? I said, I have no interest.
Yeah.
And he said, at least you should read Gurbani first, right? And if you have any questions, I am here.
Yeah.
We all are here. You can ask questions. I said, I have no interest. Because
what appealed to you when you read the Bible?
The stories.
So you didn't think they were a little crazy?
Old Testament, yes. But New Testament, because how I was taught there was that, okay, the Old Testament is no longer valid. Once Jesus came, everything changed, right? So then for the New Testament, I was like, okay, John is saying out there, right, that Jesus is the only way, right? So I mean, like, I felt like that since so many people experienced that, and then Jesus, they commonly say Jesus died for your sins, right?
Did you believe that?
I mean, I was not 100% sure, but I was like, maybe this is right. Let's try it.
Okay.
Right?
So you have a turban and a beard, and you're going to church.
Right.
And you're reading the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what is the, like, so you're doing this for how long?
I did it for 3 years.
Okay. And so... And obviously, you're getting something out of it, that you're dedicated to it, et cetera, and that you believed it strong enough that you sat your parents down and you basically said, I don't want to believe this. And were your parents hurt or?
Very hurt. Okay. I gave them, I will say, I hurted them a lot, right? Because they didn't. But the good part was, I mean, they were telling me that, okay, you should read the Gurbani and all that stuff. But they were still not stopping me. You can't go there or something. They're locking me up or something, right? Or beating me up or telling me, get out of the house. No, nothing
just,
like that.
They treated you with a lot of love.
Exactly.
Okay. So now you get there. Now, what's the big reveal? Like, was it one thing or was it like a series of paper cuts that you're like, maybe this isn't for me?
So what happened was, like, there were things which they were saying. For example, one of the lady, the pastor's wife, she said, not in front of the pastor, but she was like, oh, men should not cover their head, right? And then there was like, nobody reached to God, or the Jesus was the only messenger towards the God, right? And I was like, and they kind of a side comment about Guru Nanak Sahib.
So basically, their thing was, why are you wearing a turban still?
Mm-hmm.
You don't look like a Christian.
Right.
The second thing was basically, no one other than Jesus got to God.
Right.
So did they dismiss Abraham and Moses and stuff like that? Or
No.
Previous prophets, or were they just Jesus focused?
Right. I'm saying they were Jesus focused. They said that Jesus right now, at this point of time, Jesus is the only way. And if you believe in Jesus, you can reach God. And Jesus is the God. And he's the Son of God, right? So that's the only way, basically.
And then, so you didn't like that. Then what was...
It didn't cut for me because I didn't believe then that there's only one messenger God sent, right? Like at this point of time, there's only one valid person whom if I believe and that's the...
So then what happened next?
Well, there was a little bit of change in my life. One of my uncle, who was Amritdhari, and he basically was...
meaning that he's an initiated Sikh, baptized. Right. Yeah, okay. Right.
And he basically told me... So this was why I started in Christianity in college, but when I passed out, I started doing a job in Uttar Pradesh, in Lucknow, and I've also met another pastor out there.
So Uttar Pradesh is outside of Punjab. It's right. Maybe North India, but yes. it's like to the east more.
Right.
Yeah.
So I met another pastor out there, and the pastor gave me there were like certain habits. I'm like, we used to eat meat. I used to eat halal meat also. And when I was a Sikh, I was like, okay, I can only eat chatka, but I'm eating everything and all that stuff. I'm enjoying my life, but then just underneath, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not happy because they have started telling me that I should not be wearing a turban, basically.
Okay.
And then on the other hand, when I went back to Punjab, my uncle was like, you believe in whatever you believe in, keep on believing it. But before you sit on the chair where you work, do 5 times a Mool Mantra. From Ekonkar to Nanak Hosi Bhi Sach, and then only sit. And... what happened was I started doing that, and suddenly the problems in my life, like the work problems, and I started getting some peace. Yeah. And things started going in a different direction. So I think that was a seed which...
So it's really the seeds of hate that, like... And by the way, we're not saying one religion is better than the other. What we're saying is that when you teach hate, like why it appealed to you first was love... But when people were just not accepting of who you were,
right.
Then as a result, you started saying, wait a second, this isn't what I bought into.
Right.
And so, and it's an important lesson for all Sikhs, that if we don't accept people and let everyone have growth in their spiritual path, we're not encouraging people on the path, we're actually turning them away.
Right.
And I think that's an important lesson that you felt, was it wasn't that you felt Christianity was bad, you just went ahead and said, wait a second, people aren't practicing what they preach. There's not kind of an acceptance of who I am. And as a result, like no one's kind of helping me on my spiritual growth. So then you kind of, the fallback was Sikhi or?
It was not a fallback. It was always there. I thought I just was trying to find a shortcut. Yeah.
You know, that's unfortunately, like, I think wherever I go, you know, today, someone else came up to me and they're like, basically telling me, they're like, I hated you for so long because basically you were just telling us the same thing over and over again. But nobody wants to do the hard work. Like I think everybody wants to be spoon-fed the stuff, but until you actually do the hard work of doing Gurmantra Jap, until you do the hard work of doing the Simran and looking inside on being like, what do I have to fix? Like, you know, like, I don't think I know I don't care if people like me or they don't like me. But what I don't want people is to give up on themselves. Like they have to give the hard work. And what I don't like is when people do try to take shortcuts. You'll find people, they come to Sanghats for a year or 2 years, maybe 3 years, even longer. And then all of a sudden they give up because they just don't want to work hard anymore. And it's like, did you forget about your goal? Did you forget about your destination? What's the matter with you? How come you're not going with it at the same level of passion as when you began with? And what I found almost always, and Gurbani says it too, people are just lazy. They just reprioritize. Like you need the same intensity for when you heard you could meet God every single day until you get to that destination. And you got to carry it over every day and be like, am I working that intensely? Okay, so you go ahead, you're back in the sicky. Now, part two of your life, which I find actually even more interesting than part one. Part one is kind of the candy, right? Part two is, so you get into sicky, but you essentially become an extremist.
Yeah.
Like, you're a fundamentalist guy who's critical of everyone, who won't eat with people, who won't do anything. So explain that part of your life and kind of what the realizations were on kind of changing them.
Now I knew that you have to do the hard work. Yeah. So hard work means you have to keep even your, like, physical rehat also in a hard way. When I say physical rehat, I'm not talking about just 5 kakars. That's obviously must for every Sikh.
So a rehat means a code of conduct.
Right.
It's the way that you conduct your life in such a way it's a social code according to a religion.
Right, right. Okay. So everybody has to wake up at Amrit Vela, given, have to do Simran and do 5 Varnis.
Okay, Amrit Vela means between the hours of 12 and 6, typically.
Right, right.
Yeah, okay.
And that was all fine, but I went extra mile. Like, I started doing stuff which probably, I don't know, I felt it was right.
Okay.
So I started eating only from Amritdharis. And I started eating in iron utensils.
Okay, so you wouldn't go ahead and eat with other Sikhs even?
No.
And were you so, like, did you only eat from Amritdharis from where you were baptized? Or did you go ahead and eat from all Amritdharis?
All Amritdharis, but I will not eat from Gurdwara. Okay. Because the seva in Gurdwaras, Munas can be also doing the seva, or some other religion person can
so
also be
So people with cut hair or non-Amritdharis? Right. Could be doing the seva, so you refuse to eat with them.
Yeah, even I will not even eat it in the Darbar.
So let me ask you a question. So you wouldn't even eat it at the Golden Temple. My question to you is, like, I know how much you love Guru Nanak Dev Ji. Do you feel that that's Guru Nanak Dev Ji's message, that all people don't sit and eat together?
So I felt it was Guru Gobind Singh Ji's message then.
Yeah.
Right? I because that's what was taught to me when I took the Amrit, right?
Yeah.
But do I believe it now? No, not at all.
What was the change mentally? Like, what was the shift?
I think I was spending, me and my wife, I will say, we were spending, and my wife was doing stuff for me.
Yeah.
And I think I was giving her a lot of hard time.
Yeah.
Like, we were cooking food, everything from the scratch, that to in iron utensils and all, Cerablo. And basically doing everything from scratch.
Yeah.
Nothing processed, right?
Yeah.
We were not eating noodles, or we were not eating bread from outside. Everything we were making at home.
And you felt that that would get you closer to God, or yes, make you pure?
Yes, okay. Because I felt that there are when you cook the food with the Simran, which I still believe, and you put a good vibrations, and if it is cooked by a rehat one Sikh, Tyar Bar Tyar Sikh,
yeah,
who keeps the full rehat and all, and do the Simran and put his drishti in there, and vibrations are there, and it becomes, the food becomes pure.
Yeah, this is what Gurbani says, Jai Prasad Chati Amrit Kai Tista Kurko Rakhman. It says when you keep God in your mind, the food becomes purified,
yeah,
right? And it does affect, all the food that you do eat does affect your body,
yeah,
right? So, like, for example, because our surti, our mind, surti is another word for mind, because our mind is connected so deeply entrenched in our body, whatever we actually eat, because our body intakes that food, it affects us that way. When your mind is above your body, then those kind of things don't kind of affect you. So are you doing Simran, or are you more having anxiety and worry of, I don't have the stainless steel correct, or I don't have the iron correct? Well, like, you know, I know what you believe, but were you actually doing it or not doing it?
And that's a very good question. Saying is one thing, doing is another thing, right? So I wanted to do all the time, but, you know, whenever I was, like, hungry, right, and I don't have a food to eat, I was actually angry. So I was, like, angry at my wife, and I'm making the food in an angry way, or she's making it, and I'm saying something bad to her or whatever, right? So basically, we are not doing the way we should have done it. And but then I saw a few things, right? Even the people whom I respected and all, and when they were cooking the food, they were not doing Simran. They were gossiping. So I was like, what is this is not bibbeke. So we basically eating food like that is bibbeke. So that's what we used to call food with the bibbeke, right? So, but then what is the point, right? It slowly was like, why I'm not, if Mona is touching my food, what is happening? And Mona is doing a Simran. He's looking at the food and he has full of love, a lady who has cut her hair, but she's doing Simran. And on the other, there is Amritari lady and she's gossiping. So what is the difference? Those questions started coming inside me. I was like, why? Well, what's going on? I mean, how come the food from this lady is pure just because she has a physical wrath and the food from the another lady who has cut the hair is not pure?
And so, like, I know we read this and, like, I never experienced it firsthand because I didn't grow up in India or anything. But, like, these rules around kitchens and stuff like that. For me, when I was a kid growing up, we thought that stuff was just in Hinduism, right? Like, around kind of the cleanliness of your kitchen, who is that allowed to look at your food? Who wasn't allowed to do it? Like a Brahmin wouldn't eat food if somebody looked at it. If kitchen wasn't kept in a certain way, if the certain rituals weren't done, it wasn't allowed to be eaten, the food, etc. It didn't kind of hit you that maybe this isn't 100% gurmat, this approach?
Agreed, 100%. Because...
No, like from India, like didn't you like... I mean, you probably heard all these stories of these crazy kitchen things. I mean, we had rented a Jewish person's house and they said, look, because you are not Jewish, you're going to ruin our kitchen. So we're going to lock all the cabinets. You're not allowed to use anything. And basically you could just use the stove, but basically don't defile our kitchen. And basically because you guys are impure and we're pure. I mean, what was your approach to food when you were a kid? I mean, didn't you know those stories or did it just not click or what was it?
I mean, in our house, it was pretty open, but then there was one maid which used to come who used to clean our toilets and all. So my parents used to serve her the food in a different utensils altogether, just because she's cleaning the toilets. And I mean, like, when I think now, and right, and when I was like a little toddler, I was like, my mom told me that I kept on running to her to eat a food from her utensil. And she used to call my mom, he's coming, stop him. He's going to eat from my utensils. Then you're going to be mad at me. My mom was not like that. My mom didn't care, to be honest. So she was pretty open and she was pretty religious in that way, right? She didn't differentiate it that, okay, this she's a low caste or something. And then from the childhood itself, right? Well, we had a factory back out there and there were like 12, 13 laborers out there and they used to cook their own food. I used to go there and eat their food. But somehow it totally changed when I took Amrit, right? But then when I saw these different things and then when I read Asa Ki Vaar, so chesei naan ka jin man vasya soye.
Yeah. So can you translate that for everyone?
Right. So that the sucha is when...
The sucha means the cleanliness, the purity.
Right. If the Vaheguruji is inside you, in your mind, if you're basically Vaheguruji is inside you, in your mind, then only is something is clean. But if in your mind some gossips and slandering and nindya chugli is going on out there, then obviously it's not pure.
So as a Sikh, what's the most extreme thing that you were doing?
In one way, maybe I was not showing it, but I was kind of hating people, right? People who have not taken Amrit, people who are Mone, people who don't take Panchakari Rehat. I'm kind of, you know, hating them in one way or other, right? So that was crazy because Sikhi doesn't teach you hate. Obviously, it teaches you love.
So when you get into these rituals or stuff like that, or you get into these things outside of Gurmat, the end result, in your personal opinion, in your own personal observations, is that you ended up with a lot more hate in your heart.
Yes.
There was not more love.
Yeah.
So what do you think eating together brings together, regardless of who the person is? Do you think that fosters love?
Exactly. Maharaj says, jin prem kiyo tin hi prapayo, right?
Yeah.
So obviously when you eat together and a same food, right, obviously there's a lot of love. Right. Yeah. And you basically love each other. And now I believe, I mean, I was reading the Bani.
That's the
also.
Power of longer, right?
Exactly. Like, yeah. Exactly. power of equality, langar. And when we are saying, okay, my langar is going to be different than other person's langar, boom, there goes your equality. And that's a core principle of Sikhi.
Yeah. I mean, that really is a fundamental core principle. So do you feel like all these other rules that you were kind of taught, do you think they deviate kind of what the essence of what Sikhi is teaching?
I think to your point, right? Initially you said, right, the whole point was that everybody should make their langar by doing simran and put the good vibrations out there.
So the word is drishti, right? So Gurbani tells us that in our eyes, the mind sits, and in our eyes is the jolt. And when we do simran, what happens is that turns the food actually, that amrit drishti turns the food into amrit. And people can change by just eating that food because their surti, their mind surti is in their body so much, it actually changes their mental outlook as well. So when you do simran and you make your food, you will find that the food tastes better.
Right.
Two, there's a lot of love. And it nourishes not only your body, but it also nourishes your mind a bit. Right. Now, there's a separate food for the mind that's called amrit ras and shabad. But, you know, that's ultimately where we try to get through simran.
Right, right.
So let me ask you this. So now you've basically gone ahead and you're this basically orthodox Sikh who's there. Did you have a lot of pride about that? That you ate in these utensils, you did the cooking, you had a better practice than other Sikhs? Or did you have compassion on people to say, hey, let me help you along? Do you think you put more superstition in people, or did you break their superstitions?
No, I think obviously you put more superstition. But, I mean, there are benefits for that. And nobody talks about those benefits. So when you eat in iron utensils per se, right? Even doctor says that you will not become anemic, right? Because obviously the vegetarian diet itself, if you're not eating much of spinach and all that stuff, you will have less of iron and all that stuff. But again, it has nothing to do with the spirituality per se. Just eating in iron doesn't make you spiritual. You're not going to go closer to the Vaheguru. But there was one big turning point in my life when I stopped all these.
Yeah.
I started eating in langar.
Yeah.
Right. And but still, it was a limitation. I was still not eating in the restaurant.
Yeah.
And then I met you.
Or then you started doing?
I started doing simran.
Yeah.
But the turning point was when I first met you. You were eating a pizza. Like not a homemade pizza, but pizza from a restaurant.
Yeah.
Obviously a cheese pizza or a vegetarian pizza, but still you were eating a pizza. And in my mind was like, oh, hey, this is the guy who's sitting in front of me. He has met Vaheguruji and he's eating a pizza.
Yeah.
And here I have nothing. And I'm like hating people. Yeah. I'm not eating from, forget about it. It's not about eating from restaurant. It's about, I'm belittling other person. I'm saying, okay, I can't eat from that person because he's lower than me and I am upper than that person.
Yeah.
And it totally hit on my head.
Yeah. I mean, I think the moral lesson is that, you know, sometimes we do things to try to get closer to God, but they just drive a wedge to make us further and further from God. And I think it's an interesting story. So, are you happy now that you're doing simran?
Very happy. Very happy. With Vaheguruji's kirpa, a lot of happiness. More simran I do, more kirpa happens, more happiness.
Have you had spiritual... Look, do you feel... Look, I know you haven't met God yet.
Yeah.
But do you feel you're on that path now?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, whatever Gurbani says, I have experienced the practical stuff about that, right? Yeah. And I'm so happy. And I never used to get answers before. And now when I read Gurbani, and it's so much bliss. It brings so much bairagya.